Becky Aikman was a writer and editor for Business Week and a reporter for Newsday. In her 40s, she was a widow. Too young, too modern to accept the role, she struggled to make sense of her place in an altered world. Now in her new memoir, Saturday Night Widows, The Adventures of Six Friends Remaking Their Lives, she explores surprising new discoveries about how people experience grief and transcend loss. And following her own remarriage, she forms a group with five other young widows to test these unconventional ideas. It is a great pleasure to welcome Becky Aikman to the roundtable this morning.
Thank you, Joe. It's my pleasure.
At what point, when you're living through something like this, do you decide that you want to write about it?
I think I wanted to write about it because I felt that I was going through this experience, which is such a common, universal experience, losing someone close to you. But I felt there wasn't much out there that helped me deal with the next step after grieving, which is the step of how to remake your life and reinvent yourself when you're forced to do so in the middle of your life. I felt like the script I'd been following was suddenly torn up and I had to write a new one. And I didn't feel that there was much out there for that stage of how to recover in a situation like this.
When you talk about recovering from a situation like this, I mean, that I guess that process in some ways starts right after it happens. But by just definition, it's still something that you continue to work with today, right?
Well, sure. Anytime you have a major change in your life, a major setback, it has an effect on you going forward. And I was very interested in that process. And I wanted to have a full and happy life again. I wasn't sure how to make that happen. I wasn't sure who I was going to become next. So I wanted to work on that myself. And then I thought this was something that other people would want to read about too.
At what point did you start to bring these people together, bring together friends to remake your lives? And how much of that was conscious and how much of it just sort of fell into place after a while?
It was quite conscious. When I lost my husband, I felt like I didn't know anybody else like me. All of my friends were kind of settled in their lives and most of them were married. And suddenly, I was having to redefine myself, and I didn't know other people in that situation. So I really craved that kind of company. I also, because I am a journalist, did a lot of research on what's considered helpful for people when they've lost someone. And once I did that research, I thought, I should put all of this together. I should find a group of people like me, and we should put to the test some of these ideas about what could be helpful. So that's what we did. It was a very conscious decision to say, let's come up with a great new way of dealing with this kind of setback in life. And I put together the group of people to try it out with me.
Give us an idea of this group and how you put them together.
Well, it was hard to find young widows because they are fairly rare. So I did a very unscientific method. I just asked everybody I knew if they knew anybody who knew anybody. And eventually I hit upon these five other women quite randomly. It wasn't until I got them all in a room together for the first time where I went, oh my, what have I done? They were such different personalities, and I thought, this is never going to work. They were so different from each other, and the only thing they had in common was not exactly the sort of thing that lights a fire under a party. So I thought, this could be one sad story. But over time, as we got to know each other and shared a lot of really interesting adventures, it really turned into an adventure story. As we were all rediscovering ourselves and finding new ways forward, very different in some cases, but always exciting and interesting and finding new happiness.
If there was a goal, it was to grieve or to start over, to remake? I mean, the subtitle says of remaking their lives. So it is in some ways to press reset.
Exactly. I think there's a lot written about in our culture and known in our culture about the grieving phase when you've lost somebody. We all know it's really sad. It's really hard. It lasts for a while. But I was interested in the next step. once you've gone through that searing experience of recognizing you've lost someone and you have to start over, then what? And I felt that was what I wanted to read and therefore what I wanted to write.
When you bring people together, how long does it take to, since you have somewhat of a shared experience, how long does it take before there is a trust to talk in a very honest way as to how you're feeling, what's going on, what's happening, and you start seeing the effects of this group meeting once a month?
It was the funniest thing. At the very first meeting, we had a kind of immediate connection because we'd shared this relatively rare experience and we all felt we hadn't known other people who shared it. So there was an immediate effect of going right into our most personal concerns. At our very first meeting, everyone started talking about wanting to date again and missing what they missed from their marriages and how to find it again, and the more adventurous things they wanted to set out and do for themselves. So it was kind of immediate that we had a connection, but the connection got stronger and stronger over the course of the story as we shared a lot of experiences. And you know how that is in life? When you share experiences with someone, you create a much stronger bond. And that was part of the theory of our group, that we missed having that close connection with someone with whom we shared memories. And so we were creating new memories together. And now we love to get together and look at our photographs of what we did and talk about our favorite moments, our least favorite moments. So we've kind of created that shared past with new people. And that's been a really helpful thing for all of us.
Was grieving a part of it as well?
It was, but not as much as people would think. We laughed a lot when we were together. We shed a few tears, but it wasn't that common. One of the things I learned in doing my research is that the idea that it's good to sit around and talk about traumatic events from your life is a dated idea, and it's actually counterproductive for most people. So a lot of standard support groups where you're forced to tell your most traumatic stories can really make people feel worse, not better. So the goal of our group was that we were not forced to talk about things unless we wanted to. Now, what happened was that these things that bothered us would come up, but it was in a natural way as we were doing other things and talking about the future. So, in general, we were really more focused on remaking ourselves and less focused on the past, although that certainly came up, and having other people to share those sad moments with was also very helpful.
Through these meetings and the time that you spent together, how much would you catch up with each other in between? You'd meet once a month, but how much communication was there in between?
There was a fair amount, and like normal friends, as time went on, we caught up more and more like normal friends, calling each other on the phone, one or two people maybe having dinner together. But when we had the full group together once a month, then we would really go through everything that was going on with everybody and catch up and weigh in on each other's situations. And we really held nothing back. We shared our most personal secrets with each other, which is ironic because it was going to be in a book. But I think everybody felt that our stories could be helpful to others. And so we were not too shy about what we would talk about.
Was there a formality to the meetings in the sense of what you wanted to achieve because you were writing a book about it, or was it just very natural and a dinner party type setting?
It was totally loose, because what I learned in my research is that a more formal setting where people are told, now you're going to grieve together, is not that useful for people. So our goal was that we got together and we did fun and interesting things together. And often they were new experiences for everyone, because I'd also learned that having new experiences is very helpful for people who are overcoming any kind of a loss or any kind of other setback. It helps you to think about being more flexible about your future. So we did a lot of things together that were new to everyone, including at the end of the year, we took a trip to a country none of us had visited before, And that was a fabulous way to look back at our normal lives and put it in perspective.
When you look at the six, how are they all doing now?
We still love to get together. And I think I've been kind of surprised because this was my wacky amateur idea, but everyone seems to agree that it set them on a new course in life that was really helpful and positive. So they've all moved forward in a lot of different ways. People have changed their homes. They've changed their relationships with their families, their friends, their children. Some of them changed their careers. Just about everyone in the group began dating again with all the complications that go along with that.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple people have forged new long-term relationships in the group, and that's been really gratifying also, and also complicated because when you form new relationships at midlife, there's a lot more going on for everyone to deal with, so we still have lots to talk about.
And for you specifically, how are things?
Things are great. My husband died in 2004. 4 years later, I remarried someone I met and felt very fortunate to meet. So that story is in the book,
mm-hmm.
how I began dating again, a few of the not wonderful misfires in that process, my great luck in meeting someone who seemed good for me, and then starting a new life together, which, as I said, it can be complicated. We lived in different states. He has a daughter, and I've never had children, so becoming a step-parent has been a dramatic change in my life. And he had a dog, too, which I'd never had before. So there was a lot to get used to. It's been surprising to me that at a point in my life when I thought everything would be settled, suddenly it's all been thrown up in the air, and everything is now different for me, including my career, because I was a newspaper reporter, and I left that job to write this book. So that's been a dramatic and really fun change in my life also.
Well, the name of the book is Saturday Night Widows, The Adventures of Six Friends Remaking Their Lives. It is published by Random House. Becky Eggman, thank you very much for spending time with us. Best of luck to all of you.
Thank you.
Again, the name of the book is Saturday Night Widows, The Adventures of Six Friends Remaking Their Lives. It is published by Random House. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.